Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And this is a disturbing report. On the surface, we should be pleased that we're going to kick China's butt. But what's happening internally in the country, particularly with the young adults, makes China very dangerous. They're a cornered and wounded animal. And I will tell you, it's just like the Democratic Party we're seeing now. They'll try to destroy it all before they give up their power, because that's how dictators think. We're going to go through a two-part series on why China is so dangerous. And oh, they are very dangerous right now. And it's nothing to do with Trump's rhetoric with tariffs. I don't think this has anything to do with that. Does it add one more straw to the camel's back? Yes. But as a preemptive cause of conflict with the United States? No, it doesn't. This would be happening anyway. And no one's talking about this. No one is talking about this in the mainstream media. That's because with China, they control a lot of our media. Hear no evil, see no evil. And also, too, in this two-part series, you'll begin to see why the Chinese think they have the right to set up police stations in our country, here in the United States. That'll become apparent in part two. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. I'm coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And as the left continues to try to destroy this country to stop Donald Trump from getting his program off the ground, we need to really be mindful that the banks are part of the plan. If you have your retirement in the bank, it's at risk. Please listen to me. People don't pay attention to this when I say it. Dodd-Frank Law 2010. You don't own your retirement when it's in the bank. The bank does. You're number two. You're an unsecured creditor, and this gives them the right to steal not just your retirement, but what other accounts you have in the bank. Isn't it time you took protective measures given what you're seeing, knowing you're walking on hot, molten lava? You're in big trouble. Noble Gold can help you. And I will be honest with you, if I were in some of your situations right now, I'd be looking at this and say, Noble Gold is my only option. What they'll do is they'll take your retirement away from the control of the bank. They'll convert it. They'll back it with precious metals, usually gold. And that's an appreciating asset, as opposed to the crap you have now, where it's backed by the dollar. Need I say more in the comparison? And you can apply similar diversification strategies with regard to your other banking accounts, which you should reduce to operating capital. Now, when Trump stabilizes everything, the dollar begins to make a comeback, then we can readjust. But the Dodd-Frank law, as long as it's there, nobody should trust a bank. Now, it's interesting. The federal government wants me to give you a warning that we give in good faith. There are no guarantees, and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. But what they don't tell you is the banks can rob you blind. And that's the biggest warning of it all that should be delivered. You have a choice. You can look into Noble Gold and deal with people who will never pressure you to close a deal. I know, I've been a customer for over 7.5 years, advertiser for over eight. They will never pressure you. They'll just give you options. Here's the number, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Noble Gold's the best company in terms of customer satisfaction, customer service, honesty, integrity, respect, that I've ever dealt with. And they're also our longest running advertiser here on the Common Sense Show. And there's a reason for that. Okay. This is not good. China is in a precipitous collapse. It's not a collapse that really jumps out at you with one single incident. Oh, the stock market crashed today. But China is at some point going to face multiple and catastrophic failures in close time proximity to each other. And there is a philosophical change among the young adults in China that is largely precipitating this change. Let me get into it with you. The whole problem with China right now, I'm not going to say whole, 50% of the problem, 100% of what we'll cover here in part one, has to do with the Chinese one child policy. I believe the policy is about 44, 45 years old. And then, of course, this created imbalance in fertility because China's still a rural nation at the time, mostly a rural nation, needed young males for farm work over females. That was the preference. Sorry, liberals, sit down, shut up. This is the reality of agricultural economics. But the reality that translated into is that there are 30 million more males in China than there are females. That creates fertility issues, declining population. And it's a different cause, but it's what we're seeing in Italy and Japan and Korea and now the United States. All right, there's not enough young people in China to fill the army, to fill the factory jobs. There's just not enough. In fact, let me go through some historic unemployment rates in China, and they really tell a big story here. In 1949, when Mao Zedong took over, part of his genocide was to was kind of like the movie The Purge, get rid of the poor and you don't have to pay for them. And that was part of what he did. And your unemployment rate at that time was 2 and 3, 67%. At the height of the Chinese economic empire, okay, things like consumer confidence, rising currency rates, trade balance for the rest of the world, those things coalesced into 0.3% poverty. Remarkable. Tip of the cap to the Chinese for getting there. The problem is the methods they use to get there can't keep them there, and that'll become apparent as we go through this. Today, the unemployment rate among the youth is almost 22%. And a lot of this unemployment is self-induced. Not entirely, but in part, it's self-induced. We're going to really cover the governmental part of this, the bad policies that have led to this in part two. But what I want to talk to you about is a shift in Chinese psychology. It's absolutely amazing. I suppose we could make the saying, inside of every Chinese youthful person is an American dying to get out. And I'm not being degrading to the Chinese. I'm telling you, they don't want what they've got anymore. The young people are extremely delusioned. In part two, we're going to cover what the Chinese government has done with different businesses like Alibaba, their private tutoring and education that have really exacerbated this situation. But what's happened with the Chinese now is we have 11 million Chinese graduates each year, and that's over 9 million last year. And the number of available jobs are declining. And the Chinese have always had this culture of work extra hard because remember, they came from 66% to 67% unemployment rates, and they had to. The standard in China now is a 40-hour work week. That's what the CCP puts in writing. Of course, they always tell the truth, right? No, not exactly. What the norm is people work the 996. Do you know what the 996 is? Yeah. 6 days on, 9 hours a day, and find an extra 9 hours somewhere in the work week to add on. The average Chinese youthful worker is working 72 hours per week. This is devastating to personal relationships, personal hobbies and interests, life satisfaction, life enjoyment. Falling asleep on the job is common. Sleeping on public transport is common. These people are taxed to the max. Well, back in March of 2022, On Chinese internet, this was surprising that the CCP didn't catch this. There was an article written that said that I'm content to be ordinary. Now, ordinarily, when we think of youthful Chinese workers, they're go-getters, they're innovative, they produce more scientists than anyone in the world. I mean, they have done an amazing job. In fact, actually, if you go back 10 years, of the Fortune 500 companies, 142 of them were Chinese. Back in the 90s, it was only three. They're number one in the world, at least up until 2022, as being Fortune 500, most Fortune 500 corporations. It's an amazing accomplishment, but it has not continued. It's now fragmenting and falling apart. This article I'm referencing was a turning point. It reminds me of the effect of Thomas Paine when he wrote the pamphlet, the Common Sense pamphlet. What sense does it make for an island to rule over a continent? 'Tis time to part, that kind of thing. Okay, and that really galvanized psychologically many of the people in the colonies to stand up to British tyranny. This is the effect that's having right now with this article. And yes, the Chinese have banned it, but you can't unring the bell. Once you've heard it, you've heard it. And this article was viewed by 92 million Chinese in the controlled environment in which they exist, with the social media controls, censorship controls. This they let this slip by. I think they underestimated the threat, but it even gets worse. There's a term that's now come out in China called Bailan, spelled Bailan, Bailan. And Bailan means to let it rot. Well, what are they letting rot? The ideals of the 996. They don't want to work the 72 hours. They want a little more freedom. They want to pursue the arts, their personal interests. They want to get 8 hours of sleep. Imagine that. Well, the CCP is not known for caring about the welfare of the Chinese person, so they could care less. So they have effectively banned the movement. But here's what's interesting. This just didn't say on the philosophical side of things. The Bailan movement, the Let It Rot movement, spread to riots in places like Beijing, Shanghai. Millions of people stood up and said, no more. Now, they hauled a lot of these people off, probably never to be seen again, but the damage was done. One of the things we're seeing, and I'll hit this a little harder in part two, was that people have stopped just wanting to work in the corporates. Their parents are hiring them to be domestic engineers and live with the family, and their job is to be a permanent kid with chores. This is being done in the millions. This is absolutely incredible. Where the Chinese worker, the youthful worker, 24, 25 years of age, was willing to do anything to get ahead, for most of them, that's not true. I have to go back to our history books in the United States to help people understand this psychology. And the psychology was what we called disestablishment. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Little Timothy Leary, maybe without the LSD in China. But people were just said, oh, society sucks, man. The government sucks, man. I'm dropping out. I'm living out of my van. Okay. And that hippie movement became somewhat prominent and it grew. In China, the hippie movement, so to speak, has not influenced the people who don't want to be drafted and go to Vietnam, the people who don't want to put the time in and go to college or develop a trade or a skill. They basically, a lot of them just wanted the excuse to sit around and smoke pot. I mean, that's a fact. Oh, I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people in their 70s and 80s, but that's a fact. With the Chinese, we're talking about people with many of them above average IQs, good work ethics, proper family upraising to live in the society and contribute. And they want nothing to do with this anymore. So we're not talking a disestablishment movement that affects the ne'er-do-well. We're talking about something that's affecting what China needs. And going back to what I said earlier, this is why they don't have enough people to go into their army. And you need tech skills in many of the army positions now, just like here, and why they don't have enough people to work in the factories. Same comment. Same comment. In fact, right now, the Chinese distribution of age and population, the youth are declining in percentage. 25% of people in China are over the age of 65. We in America are suffering something similar, not quite as bad. But China is approaching Italy as being the worst on the planet for population replacement. They're in decline. There's another movement that actually preceded the Bailan movement, and it was called Funting, to lay flat. And these two concepts together, okay, let it rot, lay flat, don't care, don't give a crap. I'm going to do something outside this system because I don't like the system. I don't want this for my life. These two psychological factors are coalescing to really cause havoc in China. And the Chinese have a couple of choices, and I'm really going to get into this in part two. They can force compliance and draft for civilian jobs, which, by the way, we have in an Obama executive order called 13603. It's actually slave labor. I've covered it. So it's interesting that we have that. It seems like all totalitarians arrive at the same place, no freedom. And there's other factors involved too that I'm going to get into in part two. But let me ask you, what's more likely? That you're going to force compliance on people who are psychologically opposed to you? Or are you going to go to war to gather the resources you need because internally your economy is facing devastation in the next 5 to 10 years? And on that note, that's what's going to take us into the next segment in part two of this series on the collapse of China and how it could lead to World War III. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you check us out on our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. Upper right-hand corner, click the newsletter link, put your email in, and no, we do not sell your data. I'm not YouTube. I am not Facebook. I do not do that. And I will never do that, I promise you. But you will get your email put in there, and you'll receive a daily update late in the afternoon, early evening, depending on your time frame. And it contains documentation of what we have done during the course of that 24-hour period preceding. And people love it. When someone has a glitch and doesn't get it, I hear about it. People have come to depend on it because it's convenient and it's very efficient. TheCommonSenseShow.com, upper right-hand corner. Put in your email on the link for the newsletter. Welcome back to this segment of The Common Sense Show. Really glad to have you here. We're continuing with our analysis of the ongoing and I think devastating, with devastating consequences, the economic collapse of China. And we can't cover everything that's related to the downfall, but I've tried to pick and choose items that best explain what's going on overall. And that's what we're going to try to do here. And we got a great sponsor for you. Do you want your health back? I did too. 9 months ago, I was in big, big trouble. Strip lung linings, Dave, they're not coming back. This is devastating for you. Oxygen, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I said, no. Grace of God. A dedicated son who went to the gym with me almost every single day, but also too, what flipped the corner was boosting my immune system. And that was with an Anisoma spray liquid. This was the ticket that did it right here. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely incredible. It's my miracle. And it's part of my threefold approach. And I recommend this to everybody. Now, this product doesn't cure anything, absolutely nothing. What it does is it provides a tremendous boost, a boost to your immune system. It allows you to manufacture your own vitamin C. Ooh, that's unusual. Yes, it is. It regulates the vitamin D receptor, and it supports healthy aging by supporting your telomeres, which is linked to longevity. And you can go just look this up, read the products, and here we have the testimonials that you can see how well this has worked for everybody else. But I am your best testimonial. This is something that I'll never stop taking. This is something that I really feel confident that just like I had recently, some stuff come my way, cured, gone in 3 days. Everybody else, 2 and 3 and 4 weeks. I love this product. Saved my life. Nanosoma liquid, go to I want myhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I want myhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, if only the Chinese had something for their economy. Look, I would love to have a strong Chinese-American economic relationship that was productive without all the rhetoric that's so damaging. But as long as the leadership is in China that's in China, things aren't going to change. It isn't going to change for the people. It's not going to change for our relationship. And we will be meeting them on the battlefield. There's absolutely no question. And I think after this presentation, you'll see why. I've chosen to choose something that illustrates where the Chinese are just, their leadership is insane. They're psychopathically narcissistic, and there's no other way to describe them. They are nuts. Seriously, they're so filled with themselves, it's unbelievable. And they're managing to alienate an entire younger generation. But it's not just the younger generation. Let me go through and talk about the Japanese, excuse me, the Chinese tutoring system. And this was once a huge business, and this is emblematic of the entire approach that the Chinese have towards life. Oh, we don't want poverty. We'll lift the bottom up, but we don't want middle kids to compete with the rich kids, the elite of the Communist Party. We don't want people to be too successful to where they can be independent. And this is a hallmark of all dictators. If you just look at the American education system for a second, and if you go back to Carnegie and Rockefeller and the early industrialists, their professed belief, they said it, we need these immigrants coming into the country to be smart enough to do their factory jobs, but not so smart that they'll challenge authority. And this is, again, what we see in China. Let's take an organization. A business that was called the New Oriental Education. And effectively, it was a tutoring system. Now, you don't have to know a lot about the Chinese education system to understand this, but let me just briefly explain. China is sold on standardized tests. You don't get into squat without passing a standardized test. And that's the direction America went. Isn't that interesting? Under No Child Left Behind, or what I like to call No Child Left With a Behind. Because it was devastating. And these tests in America were frequently not correlated, not standardized. There was no sense of what we call in research and statistical measures, measures of reliability and statistical validity. We didn't have that. We just had stupid ass tests that they put up on some screen on a computer for kids to take. And if they passed, they passed. If they didn't, and then the lawsuit started. In America, because there was no correlation to success of the test, and it didn't show and prove it was showing that kids had mastered any kind of subject or skill. And so they kept pushing back the mandatory enforcement date until Bill Gates came along with his nonsense. Now, race to the top. Thank you, Barack Obama. Standardized testing again reared its ugly head with the same predictable results. Okay, now in China, it's different. It's different. We gave lip service to testing so politicians can say, see, we're doing something about education. In China, there was a definitive movement in the private sector to help the middle-of-the-road kids get good standardized test scores. So they could get into the university of their choice or the trade program of their choice. And these systems worked and they were massive. And this started in the 90s. And this profession of private tutoring employed 10 million Chinese. This was a significant add-on to the Chinese economy. And we used to sit in awe of the Chinese. They're, look how many scientists they're producing. Look how many doctors are great. And we went through all these impressive professions that the Chinese were just kicking our butts in terms of sheer number of production of potential employees. And these programs had a lot to do with it. It was success from the grassroots up. Now, if I'm the leader of a country, I'm going, this is awesome. We're going to intellectually outperform our opponents. This will show up in military advantage, economic advantage. Our people will have a higher standard of living, trade of balance will be really good. This is incredible. Incredible. Keep it up. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Now, this is interesting. Remember the Ben Loy movement, Let It Rot in the last segment? That surfaced in March of 2022. In late 2021, see the proximity of time, just a few months, the Chinese Communist Party began to ban private tutoring. And these once massive institutions of educational success bestowed upon the participants dried up. It became much harder for the average young adult in China to get into a training program or an education system of their choice. This led to a lot of the disillusionment we're seeing with the Bai Lan Let It Rot movement. And this is also what we see in America. And I want to draw some parallels here. The Biden administration came in owned by China. Is there any question about that? Did you see enough congressional hearings to know that we had a bought and paid for first family, a bought and paid for president, and they even tolerated his cocaine, whoremongering son? Yeah, that's a fact. Okay, the Chinese were basically saying, okay, we're part of the New World Order. We're going to be the world policeman. And we need you, the Biden administration and the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and all these other groups for saying the same thing. We got to bring America down several notches. You can't have the shining city on the hill that has civil liberties, well-armed citizenry, educated citizenry that's accomplishing beyond every other country on the face of the earth, and have total despotic socialist control from a dictatorial centralized model. You have to knock down the thumb that's sticking up. And that was the United States. And what they had decided to do was to use climate change. We'll use that to destroy the economy of the United States. So the Biden people come in. What's the first thing Joe does? No Keystone Pipeline, no drilling at the North Shore Alaskan oil. We need to bring America down. And did it work? Oh, hell yes, it worked. We almost have 30% of our country right now that are food insufficient because of this. You ever gone into a grocery store and look at a people now? The behavior is different. They're taking longer to shop. I actually read a research study that taking 12% longer to shop because their cost comparison, because they're so broke. It's really, really tragic. Now, the American model under Biden, which is Chinese in origin, was to tear down America using economic means. And America is an energy nation, so they took away energy. And look at Biden's, one of his final parting shots is to permanently ban offshore drilling. Screw you, Joe Biden, and your little minions. Okay, let's take this into China now. Same philosophy. Well, we have our elite kids from the CCP. They get into all the good programs. But wait a minute, these standardized test scores are being challenged by this tutoring movement that's been ongoing for nearly 3 decades. Well, we can't have that. So, one of the reasons to eliminate tutoring was to preserve the status. See, the elite kids, George W. Bush, dumbass, I believe very average IQ. And what does he do? He goes to where? Yale, where he uses cocaine and underperforms academically, but he's a Bush, so he gets pushed on through. Okay, that's Yale, Princeton, Harvard, the elite. And they don't care how much the tuition is, which is ungodly, because they can afford it, and it keeps the riffraff out that will compete with their kids. See, this is part of it. It's the same thing. America, China, very little difference there in the approach. But what ended up happening is that China, they carried it too far. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean they carried it too far? Lot of these people that were being groomed for better jobs, getting into the good programs that weren't from the affluent families, these people had to overcome some serious lack of exposure to extra experiences, adding to their knowledge and their ability to pass standardized tests, perform in their programs of choice. And this became an issue until the tutoring came along. Now the tutoring starts to level the playing field. You know where I'm going. It's exactly right. Can't have that. The elite must preserve the elite's children. And that's a big, big part of it. But here was the part that China didn't consider long term. Part of the Chinese disillusionment right now is they see a system that's rigged against them. And this is one of the things. I want you to imagine for a second, okay, that you go through a Chinese university, you get educated, you get out, and you go into the tutoring business because it's so profitable. And you're doing great, and you wake up one day, what you're doing is now illegal, and you will stop or go to prison. So they just alienated a person that went through their system, showing everybody else the system may not work for you. The second thing it does is it denies opportunity. So that article I referred to, okay, where they introduced the term bylon, let it rot. I'm content just to be ordinary was the subtitle. Well, because they're being forced into being ordinary and they don't want the 996, the work ethic that it takes, the working the 72 hours a week. It often jobs that even won't even go anywhere anymore. Now you had a banking effect. And I'm going to save that for part three when we talk about Alibaba. But the banking effect comes into play too. You can't take an industry as big as what this private education system was in the New Oriental Education title of the business. You can't have that without having devastating effects in other segments of your economy. And they began to experience that in China as well. So what you had was a malaise that set in where it doesn't pay to work that hard because it just become 10 times harder to get ahead. And we were denied the one opportunity that seemed to be working. Now, this is where the Chinese leadership is absolutely pathetically stupid and pathetically and hopelessly narcissistic. Can't have this success. Oh, wait a minute. You were kicking the world's butt 8 to 10 years ago. 142 Fortune 500 companies were out of China. And it's not going to stay that way. They just shot themselves in the foot over their desire for excessive and extreme control. By the way, by exiting the Obama administration as offered through Biden, we just saved ourselves this misery. We just preserved America in this one way. But I think there's valuable lessons there because there's no guarantee that a group like MAGA is going to be in charge indefinitely. So we could go back to the old days, and I think we need to be cognizant about what the price of that is. Now, the unemployment rate skyrocketed because of the loss of private tutoring. You had the mom, the single mom that was supporting her kids based on this income. That's gone. And then people just bounced around. And at the same time, there were other factors that came in besides just attacking the tutoring. There were constraints put on real estate, we're going to talk about in the next segment. And there were constraints put on the high tech industry. So you couldn't bounce from tutoring. You're educated, you're well trained, you're adept in some subject areas, so you should be able to apply that to get a job in that field. But those fields became infected with this CCP narcissism, and it didn't work. And today, China's in trouble. Part three, we'll get into the Alibaba Jack Ma. This is a big, big deal, and this is a lesson that all Americans need to learn if we're going to preserve any chance of economic hope for our country. Well, that's it for the Common Sense Show. Check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv. We have our new series, Hips, Hiding in Plain Sight, Repressed Technology, a little altered history that we'll bring out, and really interesting things about human potential and success. But then, of course, we do our geopolitics. We have our terrific interviews, all at thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today. I've been predicting it, and all the puzzle pieces are falling into place. The United States in this calendar year will enter into the biggest military alliance and probably trade agreements too in the history of the world. Brilliant move by President Trump. It's something that's been in the works for a long time. We're going to tell you all about it right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by Magic Dicol. In particular, we're talking to you about iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, and we're looking at the Magic Dicol family of products, the NanoSoma Topical Gel. And I want to point out what it does, and then I'm going to tell you how you're going to use it if you're fulfilling a common New Year's resolution. Rejuvenates skin, promotes and supports healthy healing. It's good to use around the eyes. It's good for wrinkles. It's good for crow's feet. It soothes the skin where needed. But here's what's really interesting. This product stimulates and helps produce pluripotent stem cells. Those of you that are embarking in a workout program and you're getting up there in age a little bit, you're well into middle age or you're into old age, what you're looking at here are sore joints, bone on bone, been there, done that, knees swelling like grapefruit. And I started rubbing this gel on at the insistence of my friend Scotty Sachs. And lo and behold, I no longer have that inflammation. And I believe it's due to the pluripotent stem cell production that comes out of this product. It's absolutely fantastic. So there's multi-uses here, but if you're planning on embarking on a semi-aggressive or even very aggressive physical education rehabilitation program for your body, this is a necessary part of it. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. There's an event that just took place. And it seems like it's kind of an obscure, isolated event. Yes, it could be somewhat major, but it wouldn't shift, or I don't think it would signal a shift in huge military balance around the world, but it does. We're going to start with this little apricot and watch it grow into a full-blown seed. And we're going to talk about the implications of this action. Stay with me because we have to build this step by step to bring to the conclusion that we're looking at a huge shift in military power, and the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and all these other satanic globalist organizations are ready to wet themselves.
In late 2024, Russia's customs authorities reclassified certain Chinese imported furniture accessories, such as drawer guides, as bearings. This seemingly technical change drastically increased tariffs on these items from 0% to over 55%. The move primarily impacts Chinese manufacturers, which dominate this market, and has sent shockwaves through Russia's furniture industry, which relies heavily on these imports. Industry experts predict that these tariffs could increase furniture prices in Russia by at least 15%, sparking protests from domestic manufacturers and consumers. At first glance, this decision appears counterintuitive for Russia, given its reliance on Chinese goods. However, it may also be a calculated move aimed at safeguarding its domestic industries and asserting economic independence in the face of growing reliance on Beijing. Similar to the U.S.-China trade tensions during the Trump administration, this tariff hike reflects a broader trend of economic nationalism, where countries prioritize short-term protectionist measures over the risks of straining key trade relationships. While Russia and China are united in challenging U.S. influence, they're
Or are they? This is what we're going to explore. The Chinese are the dominant country right now in furniture exports. Russia, China, oh, they're together, the bad, evil United States. And I'm going to tell you what I've been telling you since 2016. Au contraire, mon frère, this is just not the case. Putin and Trump have wanted to form an alliance since 2016, but the deep state contrived Russia, Russia, Russia BS narrative, the false persecution of General Flynn, put a monkey wrench in that, and Trump didn't dare go down that road, or he could have faced Democratic impeachment. Now, things have changed. The plan for the globalists is quite clear. Force Russia and America into a war. Well, gee, they're trying it with Iran right now, as we speak today. We could attack Iran today. Syria. most notably Ukraine, pitting the US against Russia. You got demented Biden even called for regime change against Putin. It doesn't get much more serious than that. So the plan is Russia, US diminish each other in a war, China emerges as the world superpower, and out of chaos comes order. You have one world government, and it's policed by the Chinese. And the United States and Russia fall into secondary positions. There's also other supportive data for where I'm headed for this. Have you seen Russia invest in DEI? Have you seen them invest in woke culture? Did they go nuts on the vaccines and the mask mandates like we did? No. Putin is immune to woke. KGB operative, he's a man's man. He takes no crap. He goes, I'm not bending the knee to this. Now, it is true, he was trained at one time by Klaus Schwab in the Young Global Leaders Program at the World Economic Forum, and he's rejected that. A lot of people have gone through that training have rejected that. He says, no, I'm for Russia. And he's got to keep these oligarchs happy, or he could end up on the wrong side of the wrong side of a gun. So he's already been taken out of power once before for 10 days, and that was over the Ukraine Crimea situation back in 2014. So he's been down this road with the Russian oligarchs. He's got to keep them happy while he manages the people. He has brought more religious freedom. He's not embracing these wild-eyed agendas. He just says, no, we're not doing this. Russia is much more conservative at this moment in time than the United States. It's an important backdrop to understand where Putin and Trump are going. Interesting. Why would Russia target furniture for tariffs? Because it's one of the best things that China does. This is huge. The tariffs, just by reclassification, what a drawer is, went from 0% tariff to 55%. Unheard of. They're supposed to be allies, but they're not. They're not. If you look at Putin's comments in the lead up to the election, 2020 was stolen. The deep state tried to kill Donald Trump. I mean, he has been out there like we have been. This signals a shift in relations between China and Russia. The furniture being as big as it is, that industry is a huge message from Russia. We're pivoting the other direction. Now, let me speak to the importance of this. If Russia and America enter into an alliance, this will dwarf NATO. NATO is nothing without the United States. They're a bunch of puny little punks with incompetent generals and corruption all the way through it. The only reason NATO is held together as somewhat of a fighting force is because of the United States. I look for Trump to greatly reduce the funding of NATO. He's done it before in his first term. I believe we're going to see that again, and we're going to see the emergence of a huge superpower. Now, China is an absolute economic collapse. We've done a two-part series on this. We've got more to add to this as we go, because the deeper I dig into China's economy, the worse it is. I don't think there's any coming back for China. And I think China is in the beginning of people thinking, do I want to be part of this? And that's the first step, that collective consciousness to building a revolution. Now, I'm not saying they're revolutionary yet, but I'm saying the mindset in China has changed dramatically. We covered that in a previous segment with the Bon Lai. Let it rot. We don't want no part of this crap. We're not going to work as hard as you tell us to get nowhere, to have you take our money from the banks, and on and on and on. Stuff we're going to cover in a later segment. Now, with China in decline, this is where Trump's negotiation and Putin's support could come in. Hey, we've got consumer needs, but you have to do it our way, China. You'll benefit, but you won't be able to exploit. You bring China in under the influence. And then the Russia-America alliance moves forward. And I think I could see a scenario hard to predict at this point, but China may join in. Now, what about the globalists? The only thing they have left, if they can't provoke World War III, if they can't get China just to go insane and destroy Russia, America, and themselves, but the New World Order survives, unless they can do those things, it is not likely that China can survive and the New World Order can survive in its present fashion. What options do they have left? Two things come to mind. I've covered one extensively in recent times. Project Bluebeam. Use that advanced technology. It's been helping people fake an alien invasion. We know it's a real project. We've seen the paperwork. We've talked about it for years here on the Common Sense Show. That's important. I don't think that's the option they're going to go with. The hardcore option is terrorism, nuclear destabilization through Iran. And what we're beginning to see in America with various terror cells lining up, and we're seeing the beginning of the attacks. And you're saying, hopefully, think this makes a lot of sense. So Russia and America will be in a state of fighting terrorism. Eventually, they'll win. This very well could be the beginning of the end for people like Klaus Schwab, Trudeau, all the little globalist minions that have made our lives miserable. There could be tribunals in both countries. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but going back to the core principle, I see Russia and America moving forward. I see China being forced to take a secondary position. And if Xi Jinping wants to survive, he's going to make his country more profitable. And Trump holds the keys. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv. We have our new series called Hips, Hiding in Plain Sight. Pretty cool stuff. Repressed technology, interesting psychology, personal growth stuff. I mean, really good stuff. And then it also goes with our regular geopolitics and as well as our good interviews. Thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. When it comes to body align, I've shown you what I use, which is the EMF defense, the energy band that's right here and that's contained here. But also, too, a lot of you will have trouble sleeping, particularly in REM where you need your most restful sleep. This is where the sleep patch comes in. And then, of course, you got some temporary pain going on. The pain relief patch is the way to go. Fortunately, I haven't needed three and four, but I am open to them and I have them just in case. So, ladies and gentlemen, comfort is at hand. Protection from your cell phone with the EMF defense is at hand. Increased energy is at hand. Go to bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Is the Trump administration imperialistic plan, and it is it appropriate for America? Trump's getting a lot of feedback from his team, insiders, outsiders, oppositionists about his newfound imperialism. Panama Canal, Greenland. I discussed it briefly before, but I thought it would be good to hear the opinion of a couple of people I consider to be experts, Stuart Varney and his congressman here. And let's let them tell you the story, and I'll be back with comments. Is Trump's imperialism towards Greenland and Panama a good thing? Okay, we'll try this again. Okay, here we go.
Now, a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman Ronny Jackson, joins me now. Congressman, great to have you back. Does the
Thank you.
U.S. need the Panama Canal and Greenland for national security?
Absolutely, Stu. We have to have those for national security purposes. It's a big.
Okay, I'm going to add into this here. The Panama Canal, this is not mentioned here, stops illegal immigration in its tracks. Doesn't stop 100%, but it stops most of it. The second thing is it stops China from becoming a regional power in our backyard, where they're controlling the Panama Canal and they're charging us exorbitant rates to use the canal that we built. So continuing.
Big deal for us, right? And, look, President Trump is the master of going out and negotiating, finding things, possible consequences, some that the people he's negotiating with don't really care for too much, and then driving them to the negotiating table. And that's what he's doing here. It's absolutely reasonable to think that, that we should be treated fairly with regards to the Panama Canal. You have China coming in. They're infiltrating themselves all over Central and South America. They're doing the same thing there that they do all over the rest of the world, where they come in and they provide lots of money for resources, for infrastructure in the forms of loans, and then they call for these loans. The countries can't pay these loans back. They expect preferential treatment, and that's what they're doing here. And they're treating the Chinese preferentially here, and they're penalizing the United States. And we built the canal, and we should have, if anybody should have preferential treatment, it should be the United States. But I think we're just asking to be treated fairly here. But it is a big national security issue for us with the Chinese influence that's come into that part, this part of the world. And Greenland is also vitally important for our national security. And if Denmark can't provide the money, the resources, the military to utilize Greenland in the way that it needs to be utilized, not only to protect the United States, but to protect all of Europe and all of NATO.
The good point, he should have elaborated on it, and he doesn't. Denmark can't do squat with Greenland. It's there because, I mean, they won't be able to launch a mineral exploration and take from the ground, but right now they're doing nothing with it. Here's how Trump gets this deal done. He goes to NATO. He says, I'm pulling our funds from NATO. We're paying a disproportionate amount. You guys aren't doing squat. You're inefficient. You waste money. But here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to set up Greenland as a base of defense for Europe and North America. And as a consequence, this will be part of NATO operations. Whoa, that expands NATO. Yes, it does, but it's funded by the mineral deposits that are there. Okay, so that's one answer. The second part of it is, how do you get this done? It's easy. Hey, Denmark, you don't own other people. These people get to decide who they're governed by. Who would you rather be governed by if you were in Greenland? Would you rather be governed by the United States and all that they can do with mining, exploration, expansion of the Space Force, in which they're going to hire people from your country for good paying jobs? And your country will be protected. Look across the ocean. You leaders of Denmark, what can you do? Absolutely nothing. So that's one problem down, one solved. This is how Trump gets it done. Secondly,
In most of the free world, then they need to step aside and allow us to do it, especially if the people in Greenland want us there and they want independence from Denmark right now. And maybe, Denmark gives them $500 million a year in aid. Maybe we roll in and offer them $1 billion a year in aid and we come up with some kind of security cooperation agreement with them. And that would be fine, too.
It still comes as a shock when the president of the United States talks about taking over Greenland and the canal. Anyway,
he's not talking about taking it over. This isn't force. This is about leverage. This is about doing what's best for Greenland, number one. Panama, you don't want to be under China. Hey, you saw what happened to Bolivia back in the late 90s with water. You don't want that. This benefits the people we're working with. Who it stops is imperialism into Europe, North America, and Central and South America. Helps our immigration problem. These are no-brainers. I 100% throw my support behind that. Sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the link, put in your email, and you'll receive a daily update for everything we do.